So with the time that we have remaining today, I'd like to start on what is, at any rate to me, a fascinating topic, and that is Kenyan Mashkon, the question of ownership of a Mashkon, of a collateral, meaning I lend somebody money, they give me their car, they give me their diamond ring, whatever it is, as collateral. Who owns that diamond ring between then and when collection actually takes place? What's the relationship between me, the creditor, and the mashkon that I am that I'm holding? Applications include, Pesach is coming up. If a mashkon is chametz, who's responsible for it? Somebody gives me something that includes chametz as collateral. Am I responsible for it? What if it's a Jew who gives chametz to a non-Jew to hold as collateral, as one example? What happens if I am the lender, I was given a very nice ring as collateral, and I use it for kiddushin? Does that work? Is that kiddushin actually valid? Obviously, you could say, well, it depends. If I end up taking the collateral as payment of the debt, then it's mine. But when did it become mine? Did it become mine when it was given to me as collateral? Does it become mine only in the in the end when I take it for payment? If something happens to the mashkon, do we say that the loan is considered paid up? If the borrower dies, does the mashkon go to the borrower's heirs? Or do we say, no, that's it, the mashkon is owned by the lender? So all sorts of practical applications come up. We need to figure out who exactly owns the collateral during the period of the debt. And we're going to have two different kinds of mashkon to consider here. Number one, a mashkon that is taken bishas halva'aso, a mashkon that is taken at the time that the debt is actually... The mashkon is taken at the time that the debt is extended, at the time that the loan is extended. That's one possibility. The other possibility is a mashkon that is taken shelo b'shas halva'aso, later on. I lent the money on January 1. The loan was due March 1. At some point in February, or even on March 1, I come and I say, "Newt, time to pay me." He says, "I can't. I don't have the means to pay you, but take this as collateral." So that collateral, that mashkon, may be viewed as different from a mashkon taken on January 1. This is the difference between mashkon that is bish'as halva'aso and mashkon that is shalo bish'as halva'aso. Just asking you at this stage, what would you see as the difference between a mashkon that is taken at the time that the debt is originated, at the time of the loan, and a mashkon taken later on when the borrower defaults on the debt? What would be the difference halachically between the two?
Well, it's possible that when it's given later on, it may be almost as payment, and therefore more likely to be viewed as in exchange for the debt, whereas if it's given earlier on, it could be that it's never intended, and whether you want to go into the das of whoever it is here, it's never intended to be given as a payment, but rather just as some sort of security.
Good. So Ezra points out that the mindset is different in these cases. If the guy defaults and then hands me this mashkon, I am looking at it as payment. It's not officially payment yet, but basically as payment. Whereas the mashkon that is given originally, he says may not be intended for payment, but I would go further with it. Not only is it not necessarily intended as payment, it has a proactive purpose. What is the purpose of the mashkon if it's given to me at the time of the loan?
To ensure collectability.
Rav Sami says to ensure collectability. Okay, let's say stronger. It's a memorial, right? It's a statement of no one can deny that there is this loan. Look, I'm holding his rig. I'm holding his car.
Did that be considered Kenyan?
Ah, so that's part of our question here. That's where we want to go with this, is does that constitute an act of Kenyan when you take it at that stage, especially if it's not really viewed as payment at this point? So, Rabbi Yaris, you're 100% correct. I think that's a key question we have to ask. So what I want to do is to begin by looking at a few other sugyos outside of our Gemara in, you know, in our Perek, which demonstrate levels of ownership of the mashkon by the lender, before coming around to our discussion, which begins with our mission on Pei Amud Beis and then continues in the Gemara on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, and to see how we angle toward ownership. And then ultimately what I would like to do between this year and what we do next week is to see three different views in the Rishonim about how this works. View of Rashi, view of Rabbeinu, well, of Tosfos, and view of Ramban, with practical applications between them in terms of how we view this mashkon. And again, these cases are very real cases. There's a lot to talk about with them. I'm getting a note on here saying my speaker isn't working. You're not hearing me?
It's very choppy.
Very choppy. I'm going to try. Sorry?
Maybe you can switch laptops with us.
Hang on 1 second.
Maybe Sammy, cut your video. Take your video, Sammy.
Okay, I'll cut the video. I can get off Zoom. Maybe that's worked better. Okay, I'll just listen.
Okay. I'm not sure what to do here with it. Now it's telling me that my speaker doesn't work.
Now I can.
Now you hear?
Yeah.
Okay, as long as you hear now, that's great. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know why I'm getting these messages, but let's hope that we can survive it for the next 15 minutes. All the Zoom shiurim I've been doing all week long, which is basically daily, at least once a day, were audible. I don't know why now, but it must be your Sammy's computer and mine, or somehow Kilayim. I don't know what the deal is. Okay. So, we take a look first at the Gemara in Kiddushin, Kiddushin Daf Ches Amud Beis, which I brought you here on the sheet is source Beis, or actually first take a look at source Aleph, because source Aleph is necessary as an introduction to this. So, this is, as you see, Dvarim Chav Dalet.
It's happening again.
It is happening again.
Yes.
All right, Rasami, can you bring your computer over here and I'll use your audio?
Yeah, let me just get Zoom.
Okay. Hold on 1 minute. Okay, so let's get moving here. Sorry about the audio problems, but I think Rasami and I need to just stay in separate rooms. That's just the way it goes. Okay. Again, take a look at source Aleph on the sheet. The lender is instructed, when you lend somebody money, do not come to his house in order to take collateral from him, to take payment from him. Cute comment, Ezra, thank you. V'chutz ta'amod, v'yish asher atano shavo, yotzi elecha es ha'avod achutza, you stand outside, and he brings the collateral to you. Separate laws regarding what the Shaliach Bezdin can do, that's discussed in our Gemara. V'yish ani hu lo sishkav v'avoto, if he is a pauper, do not recline with his collateral, don't keep it with you overnight. Hashev tashiv lo es ha'avod kivo ha'shemesh v'shachav v'salmaso v'racheko, when the sun sets, give him back the collateral, he will go to sleep with his clothing. The assumption is clothing right here that you've taken as collateral of Erechekah, and he'll give you a bracha for it. And that's the key phrase. This will be tzedakah for you before Hashem, your God. That is the important line in all of this, because of a comment Rav Yitzchak is going to make about this tzedakah, and I refer you to source number 2 on your sheet. This picks up in the Gemara Kiddushin Ches Amud Beis, but really the Gemara you need to know first is on Ches Amud Aleph, and I included a summary of it in brackets. Rav Nachman made the argument that in the event that a man says to a woman that he wants to be mekadesh her with a mana, unit of currency, however, he doesn't give her the currency. Instead, he gives her collateral for the currency. So Rav Nachman says, that doesn't work. That kiddushin is invalid. Eisvei Rabbele Rav Nachman. So Rabbah challenges Rav Nachman in the Gemara on Chesamud Beis. Kitcha b'mashkon mikudeshes. You're telling me that giving her collateral instead of giving her the cash doesn't work? I have a brisa which says, if you're mekadesh a woman by giving her a mashkon, it works. To which the Gemara says, no. That's a different case of being mekadesh with a mashkon. Hasam b'mashkon da'acherim. That's talking about where you lent somebody money, that person gave you collateral, and you say to the woman, here is this collateral for Kiddushin. So it's not in lieu of, or as a placeholder for, the money that I owe you, but rather, it's actually giving her the mashkon that I am holding, property that I am holding, for the debt that somebody owes me. And that works. Why in the world would that work if the collateral doesn't belong to the lender? The answer is, Rabbi Yitzchak says, it does belong to the lender. Uchad Rabbi Yitzchak, as Rabbi Yitzchak taught, and our entire shir is about trying to understand Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, as Rabbi Yitzchak said, Minayun Balchov Shekona Mashkon. How do you know that a creditor acquires the mashkon, acquires the collateral that is given to him? Shenamar kazava our pasuk ulachati et tzedakah. When you give back the collateral to the pauper, it is tzedakah for you. Emeno kana tzedakah minayin. He says, what kind of tzedakah is this if you don't acquire the collateral? Mikan lebalchov shekona mashkon. Clearly, the creditor indeed owns the mashkon. That's the argument that Rabbi Yitzchak makes. I have to confess, being somewhat unclear about the meaning of the word tzedakah, as Rabbi Yitzchak uses it, and as the Pasuk uses it, are we trying to say tzedakah meaning philanthropy? And since you are the owner of it, and now you are letting the pauper use it, that's an act of philanthropy? I feel like I'm watching the Brady Bunch with all these boxes that I'm involved, more than one. Is that what we're saying? That it's like an act of philanthropy? Or is what we're saying here simply it's righteousness because you own the collateral and you're letting him use it? I'm not sure which one is actually the intent, but regardless, Rabbi Yitzchak says the lender owns the mashkon, and therefore letting the pauper use it as tzedakah, and therefore giving it to a woman and saying, here, this is for Kiddushin, is actually going to create a valid Kiddushin. Everyone clear on the way this emerges in the Gemara Kiddushin? That's our simplest case, so I hope so. Someone's got to unmute.
I'm clear.
Rasami is clear. Computerless but clear. Ezra, since you offered before, I'll unmute you. Okay, Rabbi Yaris says yes. Okay, we've got an amen. Okay, we've got some thumbs ups as well. Okay, thank you. Then let's go weiter. We'll see a Gemara later on in Bava Metzia, Daf Kufi Gimel Amad Aleph, over onto Kuf Tesvav Amad Aleph, which will add to our discussion. Specifically, it's going to introduce the issue of Shemitah and Yerusha. Shemitah as well as Shemitah's effect on a loan, as well as inheritance of a collateral by the heirs of the borrower. Take a look at source Gimel, please. Mishnah says, V'im meis, I added in the words that are in brackets, if a borrower dies while a loan has been extended and while a collateral is held by the lender, eino machzir, I added the words hamashkon leyorshav, the lender does not return the collateral to the heirs of the borrower. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer, av la'atzmo eino machzir ela shloshim yom. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I have news for you. He's not disagreeing you don't give it back to the heirs, but he says you wouldn't even need to give it back to the borrower if the borrower demanded it back. Ela ad shloshim yom, only up to 30 days. Meaning, he's talking about, as we'll see, a collateral that is taken after the loan was already extended. When you came to him and demanded payment and he said, I can't pay you, but here's a collateral. If he comes back to you after that and says, I want it back and I'll pay the debt, that can only happen within the first 30 days. Umishloshim yom ulahalan, mochron bebeisdin, from 30 days and onward, you sell it in Basin. You sell it off in court. In other words, the lender cannot be stopped from liquidating the mashkon 30 days after the mashkon has already been given. So what emerges as a picture from this Mishnah is the heirs of the borrower do not have a right to the collateral. The collateral remains with the lender. And even during a borrower's lifetime, the lender has the right to sell it off in Beis Din after 30 days from the time that it was taken. We're going to have to come back to that 30-day thing. We're not done with that 30-day idea. When we discuss Rashi, we'll come back to it. But on that, the Gemara asks a question. There's a whole long discussion in the Gemara. I'm jumping to the Gemara on Daf Kuf Tesvav. It's the third line in source Gimel. The Gemara asks, "May Achar Shemachzirin Lama Chozin Umashkinin?" You know, if you're going to have to keep giving back the collateral every night, the case in which the pauper needs this to sleep with, you have to keep giving it back to him every night. Why exactly do you keep taking this anyway? What's the point? Just let him have it. You're not using it. So the Gemara answers. Two answers. One, Shalote Shvius Mishamtaso. When you take the collateral, he's really asking that. I'm not sure if I took the right part with Chozrin. I wanted the Meikara part. Nonetheless, the number one, the taking the collateral avoids losing the loan during Shemitah. Even though at the end of the Shemitah year, loans that are in default are nullified, if you're holding collateral, the debt is not nullified. That's number one. Number two, v'lo ye'asim metaltalon etzel banav, you don't want to leave it with him. Because if you leave it with the borrower, and the borrower passes away, it's a movable item, his heirs will then in fact inherit it, if it's not left as a collateral, and they won't have any obligation to use it to pay off the debt. So by you holding it as collateral, you will be able to demand it for payment of the debt. Otherwise, you will have no access. So the Gemara here adds two different ways in which the collateral is said to belong to the creditor. Number one, it prevents nullification of the debt. That may not really be a demonstration of ownership. That may just be a rule for the way collaterals work. But the second one clearly is a statement of ownership. It says that in the event that this fellow dies, it doesn't go to the heirs. And if they were holding it, then it would be inaccessible to the lender. Third example of this. Everyone clear on that, Gemara? Okay, I'm going to take those as yeses. The third example of this is the Gemara in Pesachim. I see yeses. Thank you. So the issue here is going to apply to a chametz a chametz collateral as well as collaterals in general. So take a look, please, at source Dalet Mishnah Pesachim Lamed Amud Beis. Mishnah says, Nachri Shehilves Yisrael Al Chemtzo. A non-Jew lends to a Jew and takes the Jew's chametz as collateral. Then Pesach comes along. Achar HaPesach Mutter Bahana. The Jew is allowed to benefit from that chametz if he gets it back after Pesach. Meaning the chametz was owned by the non-Jew during Pesach. That's the point. Number two, V'Yisrael Shehilves as Nachri Al Chemtzo, if a Jew lends money to a non-Jew and takes the non-Jew's chametz as collateral, Achar Pesach Azir Bano, say after Pesach, the Jew would not be allowed to benefit from it because it is chametz owned by a Jew during Pesach. So that part of it seems fairly clear. Now look at the Gemara. Itmar, Bal Chov, Abai Amar Lema, Freya Hu Gove, V'Rava Amar Mikanu Laha Bohu Gove. This is a fascinating discussion. Let's say you are holding collateral, and you liquidate it as payment of the debt. At what point do you, the lender, become the owner of that collateral? Abaye says, back in the beginning, from when you first got it. You were the owner from then. V'Rava Amar Mikanu Laha Bohu Gove. And Rava says, no, only from this moment when you liquidate it. The practical application of this debate, I think, is fairly straightforward. What happens if you gave it away or you sold it during the period when you were when you were holding it as collateral, but before the payment. And indeed, take a look as the Gemara continues. Kol hecha, we're on the third line in Source Dalet. Kol hecha da'akdish lova v'zavin lova kuliyama lo pligi da'asi malva v'tarif va'asi malva uparik. Where the borrower dedicates it to the Beis HaMikdash, where the borrower sells it off before the before it's actually used for payment, everybody agrees that the creditor can come along and undo whatever he did. He could redeem it, presumably not for cash, from the Beis HaMikdash. He just takes it and says, that's not yours. And he can take it back from the people who had bought it. Ki pligi dezavin malve v'kadish malve. The question is, what if the lender sold it? What if the lender dedicated it to the Beis HaMikdash? Abaye Omar Lamafreya who go back came into Matazimne below par a igloy milsalamafreya the Mary Kari Bishusa Abe Koi, Bishaber Akish Bishaber Zavin. Abaye says, since the creditor collects it in the end, and that's the case that we're talking about, is where the creditor collects it for payment in the end. So Abaye says he really owned it from the beginning. Therefore, that shows it was his all along, and his consecration is valid, and his sale is valid. Rabbi says, not so fast. It's actually only his from the moment he collects. Since the borrower had the option of paying off the debt, turns out that it only is acquired by the lender now, and therefore anything he did in the interim is invalid. So what we're saying at this stage in the Gemara is this. During the period when the collateral is held by the lender, but is not yet taken as payment, the rule is that the borrower can't do anything with it because it's under this lien of sorts for the lender. That part of it is is very clear. That part of it is very clear. However, in terms of what the lender does with it in the interim, Abaye says, if you collect in the end, that means it was yours all along. Rava says, it's not true. It's only yours from this point forward. The Gemara then continues and invokes the Chameitz case from the Mishnah. Tanan, Nochi Shehilvas Yisrael Achemtso Achar Pesach Mutter Bahanda. Our Mishnah said that if the Jew gives Chameitz as collateral, the non-Jew is considered to be the owner, such that afterwards the Jew is able to benefit from it. So Iyamik Bishlam Alamafreya Hu Gove Amadullah Achim Mutter Bahanda. So he says, I understand why this works. I understand if you're going to tell me Lamafreya Hu Gove that retroactively he collects. So I understand why a Jew would be allowed to benefit from this chametz afterwards, because if the non-Jew collects the chametz as payment, it turns out it was really his all through Pesach. But if it only becomes the non-Jew's property once the Jew defaults, amai mutar b'hanah? Why are we allowed to benefit from this chametz? Birshusa di Yisrael avakoi. It was in the Jew's possession during Pesach. And then the Gemara goes on to give a different answer, Kasher Hino Etzla, which the Gemara needs to explain. There's a lot more discussion there. But what emerges from these sugyos is the power of the creditor over the mashkon, and this is where we're going to pause. But to summarize, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, Kiddushin works with the mashkon because of the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. You can give the mashkon, and it counts as though you gave her something of your own. Per the Gemara Bav Mitzia Kufyud Gimel Kuftes Vav, Shemitah doesn't nullify the debt, and the borrower cannot bequeath the mashkon to his heirs. And according to Psachim, we have an interesting debate about the status of chametz on Pesach, when it's being used as a mashkon, as well as whether collection of the debt occurs retroactively or not. All of this is going to lead to our discussion that we're now going to have in our sugya payment beis and forward, and what we'll have to do next time, God willing, is go through that Gemara, see Rashi, Tosfos, and Ramban. Thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful, a restful, a zoomless and healthy Shabbos.
Indeed, Shabbos.
Shabbos.